My name is Julie Turney, and this is the HR Sound Off podcast show, the show created for HR and business professionals to discuss pertinent topics and trends as it relates to our professions. We're going to have amazing conversations with HR professionals from all over the world, get to learn their origin stories, how did they get into this profession, what do they love about being here, and how they want to set the record straight on that one misconception that really drives them crazy about our profession. Are you ready? I'm ready. Then let's sound off. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the HR Sound Off podcast show. My name is Julie Turney. I am your host. How are you doing today? I hope that wherever you're listening to this show, you're having an awesome day. Remember, the HR Sound Off podcast show is created by an HR professional for HR professionals, magnifying HR voices. And today I am magnifying the voice of the beautiful, absolutely amazing, ever busy Cavell Joseph St. Omer. How are you joining us from Trinidad and Tobago? How are you doing today?
Hi, Julie, and to your viewers and listeners. Mm-hmm. I am good, you know, busy as per usual. That's my go-to with. But yes. I am pretty good. Can't complain at all.
Wonderful. I know that you're not just busy, but you're busy and productive. You're doing a lot of great things. And we're going to talk about some of those things here. So to kick things off, let's tell our audience a little bit about who is Cavell Joseph St. Omer. What is your HR origin story? How did you get here?
Okay. Cavell is a short, bubbly person who loves to laugh. A liver, I would say. I love to travel as well, too. Mm-hmm. In terms of my career, I will say that I accidentally got involved in HR. I think a number of professionals have that similar story. Yeah. I did start off my career not necessarily wanting to be an HR practitioner, but really pursuing law. So mm-hmm. I did spend 3 years in lovely Barbados at Cable Campus. And I pursued economics and law back then. Upon my return home, I got involved in my family's business. And it's in working, you know, during every holiday I work. And then after I graduated, I worked. And I recognized that there were some gaps in the organization, primarily HR. And employees would come and talk to me and express their views on a number of things. And then I started to basically set up the HR department for the organization. And I realized that I had a gift and a passion for dealing with people and addressing concerns and even dealing with conflict as well, too. So I decided to pursue my master's. I did an MBA, an international MBA, and I specialized in HR. And that's how it all began. You know, it wasn't that I was pursuing it, but I fell in love with it. And of course, I've since moved on many years ago from that business, my family's business. And I've been working for several state entities and presently at one of the largest project and property development companies in Trinidad at the moment.
Nice. Thank you for sharing your journey with us. And it really was an amazing journey. I think a lot of people take their time when they recognize that they have a knack for dealing with people and then just end up exploring HR. And then before you know it, you become an HR professional. I think that happens to a lot of people. But that's such a great journey and time that you spent and your family business, obviously, so allowed you some flexibility to develop the HR department. What was that like?
Well, I mean, it was interesting because, you know, when working for parents, in particular, parents who probably didn't have the same experiences that you had or opportunities that you have, and therefore a little bit more hard-knocked, as opposed to you as a graduate going through the full academic institutions, it almost leads to clashes, you know? Yeah. So I would be teased in the organization by my dad in particular. He used to call me Errol MacLeod. And Errol MacLeod is, in fact, a trade unionist in Trinidad and Tobago many years ago. So in meetings, he'd be like, oh, let's hear what Errol MacLeod have to say today, you know? Because I was the one raising issues, but it wasn't only raising issues, it was also having solutions. So, yeah, very solutions oriented even back then. But of course, when someone doesn't truly appreciate the function, you find that you're often sometimes clashing with them because you may have a different perspective on the matter on issues that are employee centered. So I found that happen a lot. And I said, you know what? To salvage this relationship of ours, it's best I move on, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So, but I did implement changes. We did have the first family sports day, which we self-appreciated. I mean, there were so many different activities that was very much about employee engagement. And anyone who interacts with me knows I'm big on engagement, right?
Yeah. So that... like to engage. We know you like some fun. We know that.
Yes, you know? And the thing is, that has always been my motto. You work hard and you also have to play hard. And to me, that is important. Breaking bread, getting to talk to people, getting to know them better. It helps and it filters back into the workspace in terms of the relationship and getting things done and achieved along the way as well. So that has always been my motto way back then. And it's probably amplified even more now, you know, because I've seen the difference it does make.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that, Cavell. You wear so many different hats, and I want to talk about some of those hats that you're wearing. So yes, you said you're working right now in the capacity of HR in your one of the largest government institutions in your country. You're managing different projects, wearing different hats. So tell us about some of the other hats that you're wearing outside of Cavell, the HR director in this organization.
Well, I mean, besides the personal aspect of my life, where, of course, I'm married and I have a husband, in terms of the area of volunteerism now, I mean, I'm on several volunteer boards. Right. So I'm currently the president of the Caribbean Institute of Human Resource Management, which is a newly formed organization with several of the HR associations across the Caribbean. And then president of the Atal Lakcha Global School of Business. And again, that started off a couple of years just before COVID, where there was an interim board until we had bylaws and a few other things to ground the organization going.
Yeah.
And we held our first election in January of this year, and I was elected president. Uh-huh. So I'm the first elected president, but we did have an interim board previously.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I think everybody's quite familiar with HUMAT, the HUMAT hat, right? Because that's a popular hat. HUMAT, the Human Resource
Management Association of Trinidad and Tobago.
Yes.
Very active. Audience that is not familiar know what that means.
So, I mean, of course, HUMAT represents what many organizations would represent for their professionals. But in this case, the HR professionals, an organization where as a member, you can not only network, grow, and develop as a practitioner, but we also do a lot of advocacy for the function, for laws and legislation and policy positions, and advocacy even within the business community and how they view HR, advocating for, of course, our voice and our space, but not only voice and space, but to be there when decisions, key decisions are being made about the organization and to contribute as any other function to those decision-making activities. So there's a lot of advocacy that we do. And we've made a difference, I would like to think, in the last 2 years. Although the organization is in fact celebrating 35 years. So we stand on the backs of those who were before us, of course. And we pay tribute time and time again to our founders, and past board members and past presidents, recognizing them for what they've done for the profession and having the foresight. And we just continued this part of, or this leg of the journey, I should say.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So yes, it's been quite a ride for myself and for the board members. I mean, it's a very strong team. I work with some incredible people and people who are donating their time. It's a lot of effort and time involved in this. But we are all quite passionate about the work that we do and where we see HR and where we would like to see HR in the future as well. And that's why even when we met like people like you and Rochelle and all the others up the island, recognizing that throughout the Caribbean, we need to work a lot closely together to promote the same, you know, the same agenda, because it's all impacting the human capital across the region as well. So it's for that reason we've been very much involved and actively engaging the other associations in the other islands as well, to our sister associations, as we call it, as well.
Yes.
So So that's on that end. I mean, and of course, I serve on a few boards, state boards. One appointment recently came to an end, the National Training Agency. I was on the board of the NTA. And I mean, that organization is doing some tremendous work with respect to promoting the technical vocational skills and also certifying organizations that provide internships and apprenticeship programs as well, too. I mean, and I could go on and on about the work that NTA has been doing, and not only in Trinidad and Tobago, because there are similar entities across the Caribbean. So there's a Caribbean Association of National Training Agencies, basically, all aimed at ensuring that the same level of certification and respect is given to those core skills, like a plumber or a mechanic or electrician, that they are certified and given the same measure of respect as any other other role, any other professional role, as we would see. So that has been some good work. And I recently got appointed to the National Productivity Council. And of course, our big agenda centers around the issue of productivity and how we can not only get people to understand what productivity means, but how we measure it, the systems we could use now to basically encourage and promote productivity in the workspace as well too. And we've only just kicked off our activities. We were just appointed the end of last year. And some real good discussions thus far in terms of some of the work we'd like to do over the next couple of years while we are appointed to this council. So I will just stop right there because I'll end up talking and talking, about everything else.
That's the whole point. We're here to magnify your voice and talk about all of the amazing work you're doing. So if there's more stuff that you're doing, feel free to share it. But again, as I said, you're doing some really amazing things. And I think that this is really fantastic to be able to have this opportunity to have this conversation with you, because I know you are very passionate about HR and the work that you do. And it shows in your time that you take to volunteer and support organizations to create better experiences throughout their organizations, but also in associations to help other professionals repeat that process of being good at what they do, right? And so I want to say thanks to you for all of your hard work. I believe it's important to give people their flowers while they're alive. And so if you've not heard it yet today, Cavell, I want you to know you are amazing. Continue to do the great work that you're doing. Thank you for all of your hard work. And I will say this, no matter how busy you are, there's never a time that I have stopped and asked you a question and you've not said, "Hi, Julie, yes, give me a minute," or "Hi, Julie, yes, we could talk." You always make time. And if you're doing that for me, I know you're doing it for everybody else. And I just want to say kudos to you. Amazing.
Thank you. I mean, it's not something I hear often. So even my husband, I mean, he's the one that says it the most. Right?
Yes. Take your flowers, Cavell. Take your flowers because they're very well deserved. You do a lot. I see you moving a lot, doing a lot of different things. And I always take the time to stop and just celebrate it. I see so many different posts of what HRMAT is doing, all the other organizations that you're participating in, all the work that's being done, but you're always advocating for others. So I'm taking a moment here to say thank you for all that you do, if you don't hear it enough.
Well, I do believe, for me personally, I love to support good work. I say people have a good idea and it's contributing positively to our society, to our country, to our region. Yes. I will support it and I will commit only if I have the time to do it. So if I really can't and I can't give you 100% of my time, I would say no and I would say sorry. But the minute I say yes to you, rest assured that you're getting 100% in terms of my dedication and support and the best I could do at that point in time. And absolutely. I mean, people like you and the incredible work that you're doing. Why would I say no to Julie? You know, at the end of the day, what you're doing is making a difference. You are making a difference in your own way in the lives of others. And to me, once we have common goals, and goals that enlighten and that makes a positive difference in the life of others. Why not contribute to that? Why not amplify that? Why not share that? And why not, you know, to me, that is what this life is about, and that's what legacy is about. We're only here for a short time, and it's just for us to make it count, make the world a better place in the best way we know how, and hopefully that will be amplified and multiplied time and time when others see what you're doing and perhaps even take a page out of your book, as we would say in Trinidad and Tobago. And hopefully that effect, that trickle down effect, will happen, and that way the world could become better. Absolutely. You know, as cliche as that may sound, but that's literally what it is for me personally. It's literally what it is. Yeah.
I love that. I agree with you. Thank you so much for sharing that. I always believe, I remember my coach saying to me many years back, Julie, what is your legacy? What is your legacy going to be? And I've lived every day of my life from the moment she asked me that until now, conscious of that everything I do is about building a legacy and that everything I do must matter.
Yeah.
Even if it just matters to me, it has to matter to me first for me to be passionate enough to do something about it. But then I always want to make sure I'm building a legacy that says, you know, the work that I've done helped someone.
Yeah.
If I didn't help anyone at all, I'd feel bad. But at least I know I've helped at least, even if it's just one person, you know, I feel good every single day.
And I have a similar understanding and appreciation for the world that I'm in and what I would like my legacy to be, especially when I consider that I don't have children. So for me, my work now becomes a testimony to my time here and the lives that I've impacted as well, too. So I may not have biological children, but trust me, all these adopted children that I've made along the way.
I'm sure. I am sure you have a lot, Cavell.
Children along the way in terms of mentoring and providing career advice and setting up for some of their activities. You know, just today I got a WhatsApp from one of my mentees telling me about a great performance she had today. It was one of the best performances. So they keep me in touch. Right? So I literally have to be checking my phone. Okay, great job, you know. So they keep me in the loop in terms of what's going on with them. So, you know, so it's, again, it's our way of leaving our mark. And we all have a different role in this life. We all were born to perform the same roles. Right?
Uh-huh.
So we make a difference in various ways.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I think Steve Harvey said it best. He said, you know, when you die on your tombstone, there's three important numbers on your tombstone. There's the day you were born, and the day you died.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a dash in between there.
Mm-hmm.
And that dash is more important than the day you were born. Mm-hmm. And it is more important than the day that you died.
Yeah.
Because that dash represents your life, right?
Yeah.
What you did, how it mattered to others, and how you brought laughter and joy into the world. And so he closed off by saying, you gotta make that dash count. And that really touched me when I heard that. And so I always say to people, you know, think about, you're living in your dash. And so you really need to think about, how are you going to make this dash count? Because the day you're born doesn't, you come into the world, yes, but you haven't built a reputation. Nobody knows you on the day that you're born. But on the day that you die, what will people say about that dash period and how it impacted their lives? And that's what you need to make count, make that dash count. So
I fully agree with that.
Yes. I thought it was so powerful. Yes. So tell us, Cavell, what's got you excited right now about being in HR? What are you loving about what you're seeing and experiencing as an HR professional in this space right now? What's got you really excited about being here?
Well, there are so many elements of it. So if I were to consider the corporate world that I'm in, my day-to-day, my 9-to-5, as we would say, right? Okay. If I were to consider that, it would be the difference that HR is making throughout the organization. I am seeing a cultural change. I am seeing a shift in our people. I am seeing growth and evolution of our people as well. I'm seeing with respect to our staff and our employees here, hundreds of years collectively of world-class top of the line experience. So to me, the work that we do in this division matters, and it is contributing overall to the development of a company that has a significant role to play in the national landscape and that makes a big difference in communities that we serve. So I'm excited to see that daily, to see employees living and doing their very best and evolving. The time that I started here to now, I could tell you a number of people are no longer the same. Even within my own division, when I consider my staff in my division, and I mean, I always smile. I always look at them like a proud parent because I've seen them grow and evolve and become strong as a practitioner, ensuring that what we do is best practice. Now, we may not always get it right. And therefore, when we don't get it right, we take the opportunity to sit back and look at the lessons from some of the things as well, too. So we're not perfect, but I know we are doing great work, quality work. And I'm proud of the team. I'm proud of the organization and the employees and what they've been able to accomplish over the years. Now, in Hermann, oh, my gosh. I mean, there's so many ideas. Sometimes I sleep and dream Hermann, which is another weird thing about me. I knew when I started in this organization, for example, I knew that I was truly invested in it when I started to dream it. So usually when I start to dream, you know that there's a full-on commitment here now.
Yes.
So I start to dream work and dream things and get ideas in my dreams. So it's the same thing that happens with Hermann. So I tell them, oh my gosh, you wouldn't believe what I dream. And we need to get this person because some ideas just pop in your head in the middle of a sleep. And you get up all excited and then you send some random message or email at some weird hour and everybody thinks something wrong with you. But literally, that's what it popped in your head.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm very excited for what we have planned this year. Right. I know when we conceptualized the Legacy Awards, for example, which was the first HR Awards ever hosted in Trinidad, we were so excited mainly because of what it meant for honoring our founders.
Yeah.
And then what it meant to our practitioners in celebrating them. Now, this year, Hermann celebrates 35 years. And we are adding a different element to the awards this year that I'm very excited about. So it's going to be even better than what it was last year.
Wow.
And it being the third year, we're hosting it. So imagine 3 years out of 35 years, we finally got to the stage where we're acknowledging our practitioners for the work that they've been doing over the years and for their achievements. You know, and we may ask why it took so long, but I say better late than never. We're here now.
Yes.
And we are celebrating our practitioners now. And we've utilized every single platform to do it. So it doesn't end on awards night. It, in fact, continues. So we have the Hermann Speaks radio program where we would usually interview the awardee, and then the Hermann Says column, a weekly column. Right. And it's an opportunity for the practitioner now to write an article and say exactly why I earned this award. You know, let the world know who you are, what you've done, and why you were recognized along the way. So these are the things that excite me in addition to what we have in store for C-suite conversations this year. And of course, for the collaborations. We've collaborated again, recognizing that we cannot do this work on our own. You know, if you intend to go far, you need to take people along. And the expertise that we need, especially when we consider how the world of work is evolving, and the skills and the expertise needed for the future, HR practitioners don't necessarily have those skills. So partnering with others who are subject matter experts, who could help provide that guidance and support the work we're doing and also bring information, data, perspective to our audience. We partner and we bring that information to our members and for those who have an interest in people capital development. Because I say our association is not only for HR professionals, but for anyone who manage people.
Yes.
And want to learn more about it. So to me, that's very exciting.
Yes.
And then, I mean, when I look at the other organizations I'm involved in, at Alokjab Global School of Business Alumni Network, just Saturday, we were sitting down working on strategy. Saturday morning,
yeah.
I got up at 4:30 a.m. and got myself prepared to go down there to start promptly at 9. And Sunday, I mean, I supported a friend of mine and her International Women's Day event that was hosted at Hilton. So my weekends are usually devoted also to these extracurricular activities, as we would say back in school days. But the other organizations that I'm involved in, supporting the work, planning, strategizing, preparing for what's coming. And I'm quite excited. I know people get up and they're not very excited about life or what they may do. I get up excited every morning.
Yes.
I have a plan in my head for who I need to speak with, what I want to do. It may not always flow in the time that I would like it to flow in. Something always run into the other.
Uh-huh.
But there's a plan.
Yes.
Yes. And I managed to get it all
work out.
I managed to get it all in still with a nice apology and smile for whenever I'm late.
That is a true testimony to your commitment to HR and the wonderful work that you are doing. So tell us, Cavell, what are you reading, watching, listening to right now that you think our audience would appreciate?
Well, I downloaded this app called Wiser. I kid you not. Yes. Because I have a few books, even in my office here. In fact, I could show you one. This one. That is
Atomic Habits, my favorite book. Yes, I love that book.
So I'm now getting around to it. So you read it, I am now. But what I did, I listened to it on Wiser first, which gives you a synopsis of each paragraph, a summary of each paragraph. And I listened to that on my way to work as part of the audio. So that's what this app does. A lot of fantastic books that summarizes it. So now I want to read the book now. So I have a sufficient enough idea about it. Because I do believe, honestly, we are all work in progress. And I do believe there's some habits that I need to improve on. So that's why I'm focused on habits this year.
I love it.
I'm trying to break some of the bad habits that I have that does not necessarily lend for the maximum or the best utilization of my time.
Yeah.
So I focus on that this year. So there's this one.
Right.
I read the 5 a.m. Club as well, too.
Okay. Right?
So there are a number of books. And also, I'm not too sure if I'm saying it correctly, so don't laugh at me. But Ikigai, it's a Japanese book.
Yeah, love it. Yeah. Yep.
So that's the books one after the other that I have read.
Okay.
Noting that for me personally, so of course, I'm always trying to work on myself. And I know there's some things that I could improve on. And I look to these books to provide some guidance. So when you understand why Japanese people living to over 100 years, and you understand the principles in terms of how they eat, quality of life, their beliefs, I found that book was so interesting.
Yes.
And then the fact that, you know, in terms of discovering your purpose, what is your reason for existence?
Yes.
And I mean, the 5 a.m. Club is all about habits again, too.
Uh-huh.
How to get up and maximize those hours to set your mind in any right frame set for the day.
Yeah.
And I'm now on to this. Tiny changes with remarkable results.
So
I've gotten, I've listened to it. Now I'm going to read it.
You won't regret it. There are certain books that I read every year, just like as a reminder, because sometimes when you read a book the first time, you may not pull all the information in that moment that you read it the first time. But I find when I read books over, I get more out of it than I did when I read it the first time. So Atomic Habits is one of those books that I read every single year. It's like the first book I start the year with is Atomic Habits. I just want to get into the habit of, that sets my habit for reading.
Mm-hmm.
I get up every morning, 30 minutes a day. I start with Atomic Habits and then I knock off all the other books that I want to read for the year. So my next book is Solve for Happy. Yes, which is a book that was written by a gentleman by the name of Mo Gadot, and he was a former CEO of Google, and he talks about the lessons he learned from his son who died at the age of 21. And so this book is about the lessons that he learned from his son while he was alive and even after he died. So I'm very curious. I listened to it as well. And I also listened to him explain why he wrote the book on his interview in the podcast Diary of a CEO. And so I've been curious ever since then about actually getting my hands on it. And I'm an old school girl. I love to mark a book. So as much as I would listen to it, I also want to mark it up as well. So I still have lots of books. But that one, yeah, is a good one for me. So I definitely want to read that. The big question that I want to ask you, Cavell, is what is the biggest misconception about HR that really bothers you that you want to set the record straight on right here, right now? What have people got wrong about HR?
Well, I can tell you what peeves me is that there are all these people out there who think that they are HR professionals when they're not. And they have not even studied HR.
Yeah, they're
out there giving advice and have all these nice fancy quotes and, you know, have a nice following and everything. And then some of them actually reach out to you because they're consultants and they reach out to you asking for templates and letters and all of that. But I'm like, you're guru, so, you know, you should write this yourself in my mind, you know, or you should be drafting this yourself. Why even consult with me? So that's a peeve I have where people consider themselves practitioners and they have not studied it. HR is a science, a social science, but it's a science. And I think to me, it erodes the respect for my profession because if you feel you could get up one morning and be a professional, an HR professional, and you could give advice to people and organizations, I mean, I find that rather amusing and insulting to my profession.
Yep.
I cannot get up tomorrow and think that I could perform a surgery or get up tomorrow and think I could go to court and represent someone in court. No. And to me, that is a peeve that I have. But in terms of misconceptions now, because I know the question was misconception.
Yes.
I think people think that HR is there to basically do the company's bidding and not understand. So that's why, for some reason, employees have a particular perception and most of them tend not to like HR because they think they're just there to do whatever the owner of a business says or the company says. And that's not in fact the case. We have a balance. It's a balancing act. It's a balance rule where we look at things very, at least for me, very unbiased and try to determine, you know, what would be in the best interest of the parties involved. Now, we all have a common goal where the organization, or we all should have a common goal, I should say, where the organization is concerned. By wanting your company to succeed, to thrive, because once the company is doing well, it should redound to you, the employee, naturally.
Yes.
If we are successful, we're raking in profits every year, that should redound to the employee in terms of not only compensation and benefits, because I know that's what everybody looks for, but in terms of the type of infrastructure, the type of tools you have at your disposal, the technology, the overall learning and development opportunities that you have to develop as an individual, you see it coming back to you in some way, form or fashion. So to me, therefore, you should have a vested interest in seeing this organization do well. You know, any company that is investing in me that says, Cavell, go off to Harvard and study leadership. I'm putting that out to the universe. Right? Go out to Harvard and do this leadership program for executives. Of course, I'm going to be loyal to you and all of that. And then you now should, I mean, you wouldn't do that if you didn't have a vested interest in me just the same. Right. So to me, it's just this concept that you just there to serve the at the organization's pleasure and not consider the employee's interest. But by considering the employer and the employee's interest, you are in fact working for the for the organization, because yes. they both need each other. The exactly. employer needs the employee. You've already yes. had someone who understands your operations, your business, your clients. So yes. therefore, why would we want to have a high turnover, for example, unless we have a specific, probably disciplinary issue or some other issue. But generally, yes. why would you want that? There's no employer mm-hmm. wanting to just recruit and interview. You know, you don't want to be interviewing and engaging in a recruitment and selection process
right.
constantly. No. So to me, and as a consequence of that, people treat HR practitioners terribly, you know, the average yes. employee, because they have this perception yes. about practitioners, which is in fact not the case. Don't even know how much advocating you do. Yes. But because the function is confidential,
yes.
and HR cannot be out in the corridor saying, well, you know, this meeting happened and I said this to them, you know, and yes. they said this to me. And, you right. know, I put forward this idea, but they didn't approve the idea. We yeah. don't say those things.
No.
We say silent.
Yeah. Exactly.
So because you are silent and you cannot necessarily share your part of the story,
yes.
a story is written about you that yeah. is not accurate. Yes. So they honestly think that you're not there advancing ideas, putting forward policies yeah. and procedures that could work, and perhaps for one reason or the other, it might be delayed, it might be the timing, or the employer said no altogether. But yeah. the fact is, it's not that you're not doing your job, or you're not observing that there are issues that you're trying to address, or you're yeah. not trying to be proactive, recognizing, okay, this is what we could predict or anticipate in the future, so let's get in front of this. It's not that you're not doing all those things.
Right.
It's just a matter of whether or not you got approval for implementing or to advance it, as the case may be. Yeah. So that's some of the things that, you know, it's unfortunately sometimes you get a bad rep, not necessarily because of you per se, but right. because you are not able to share and speak as freely as others may perhaps be able to do. But you now have to be confidential based on the nature of your function. And yeah. as a result of that, people are permitted to tell your story or say untruths, which happens too. I mean, sometimes, yes. I mean, poor HR gets thrown under the bus,
all
kicking
the time,
screaming.
We are the scapegoats. We are the scapegoats all day, every day. We are the scapegoats. And we come out with some bruises. I could tell you the times, and I've said to employees, I wish you could have been a fly on the wall, because sometimes they get it so wrong. I said this to someone else the other day that, you know, I wish employees really could see how leadership does perceive them, because sometimes the conversations we're having with leadership as HR is different to what they're telling the employee. Because I feel that there are some people walking around in our organizations with their heads and their noses a bit too high above the clouds, when really and truthfully, they may be put in a position just because the manager goes, look, I'm just tired of, I don't want to deal with this person no more. Just promote them and done. And you're trying to get the manager to do it the right way. And they're just like, I just want this person out of my face. Like, just promote them.
Yes.
And also to your point about the fact that we don't go around claiming to understand the intricacies of finance. We don't go around saying that we know how to win a court case. We don't go around claiming how to conduct surgeries. We don't go around claiming to be understanding, to be experts on the business, even though a lot of times we are.
Yeah.
But we don't claim it. And we don't go around saying that we know how to manage a marketing campaign. And yet still, everybody feels that because human resources is tied to human beings, everybody knows how to HR. People may know how to deal with people, but as you said, there is a science to what we do. There is a special way that we work in architecting policies, procedures. And while we may have to connect with attorneys at times to understand certain things, to move a decision forward for the organization, because we don't claim to be legal experts. I had a manager that always taught me, Julie, lawyers talk to lawyers. So She said, lawyers talk to lawyers, and that stuck in my head. And so when you think about all of those things, you know, I really agree with you that a lot of times the disrespect that is put on our name when we are working with the most complex resource in the organization, which is the people itself.
Yes.
It's not as cut and dry and as easy as people think it is. So I thank you so much for bringing that and that passion and your knowledge and expertise to the table on that, because, and just your feelings in overall, because I think a lot of us would agree with you and say so many times they do not put respect on our name, and it's the most painful thing sometimes to watch and hear people painting us all with the same brush when we're not all the same. So I agree.
Yes.
Thank you
but
so
it also
much.
Drives some other advocacy work that we need to do in terms of licensing for HR practitioners.
Yes.
And I mean, when we consider for an accountant to practice, this accountant must be licensed by the relevant body in their respective jurisdiction.
Yes.
And lawyers are the same. So you cannot practice law without your legal certificate to practice.
Absolutely.
Doctors are the same.
Yep.
And engineers are the same. And engineering.
Well.
Yes. So for me, given the fact, and even to reiterate what you just said, mm-hmm. in terms of you're dealing with the most complex resource in the organization, and the fact is, the outcomes of your decisions could expose organizations to significant
risks
significant reward, depending on how it's managed.
Yes.
And if you don't have a specialized licensed person to do so, then the consequences could be severe. And sometimes the reputational damage or the financial risk is too high. So therefore, to me, across the region now, there should be somebody that certifies you to practice the same way there's a body to certify doctors and accountants and other professions, the engineers and other professions. We require the same. And it's something that I think we will want to advocate for in our country because it has become necessary when we consider what's happening at the industrial court at this moment with the number of cases that is before the court.
Yeah.
And maybe perhaps if you had a lot more qualified people who are certified now to do the jobs that they're doing, maybe outcomes may look a little different. Maybe, because we know sometimes employers, when they make up their mind about something, they make up their mind about something too.
Absolutely.
And then HR has no choice, even when you give advice, right?
So it's true. We are definitely put between a rock and a hard place. I do agree with you on this point. And I think we've gotten to a stage in the world in general where I think a lot of organizations are now moving away from academia and they're looking for experience, or they're hiring for attitude and training for skill.
Mm-hmm.
And so with organizations making that shift, it does beg to ask the question of where do you draw the line? Because I feel a lot of people get missed out because they don't have the qualifications, but they may have the skill and they may have the willingness. I've seen instances where people have the skill and the willingness, or they have the attitude and the willingness to learn, and they've really thrived versus someone who is certified and comes into the organization and doesn't know what they're doing. I think there needs to be a balance. I definitely agree with that because I'm seeing too many times, and I'm a lot in the Caribbean and globally, where we're putting receptionists, we're putting accountants, we're putting people in marketing, people in legal to head an HR department, and they have no sort of knowledge or experience. If that and sometimes that person may not even want to do it, and therefore they give the employees a bad experience because they don't know anything about HR, and they're struggling because they're also either navigating still being a receptionist or still being in accounts or still being in legal or still being in marketing and being asked to do HR as a little piece. First of all, that's disrespectful and we shouldn't be doing that. But again, when leaders make decisions about how they want their organizations to be run, again, this will tell you how they think and feel about HR. I do believe that, and where I think the balance could come is with synergizing or collaborating with the bodies that currently exist. So you have CIPD, which is in the UK, mm-hmm. and you mm-hmm. also have CHRM, which is in the US. And I know in the Caribbean, we have a tendency to prefer CHRM. I, on the other hand, will advocate for CIPD. And the reason why is because we were colonized by the British and our laws are mostly British based. Therefore, the principles that apply in HR in the UK, you can tie them back to the Caribbean. That's my only reason part of my reason for the preference. I also feel that CIPD offers more in terms of resources, tools, to be effective in your HR role than CHRM. That's based on my research. But then you also have HRCI, which also does the certifications. Mm-hmm. I also feel that there needs to be a serious conversation around job descriptions for HR roles. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to creating a job description, it's got to be more than that someone understands law or the local legislation. That's a given. If you're going into HR, you must understand the local legislation. I feel that needs to be there. But what I'm not seeing in job descriptions for HR roles is that the person should have, you know, business acumen. They should be literate around data. They should be able to take the data that is being created by the organization to create strategy and tell stories of the people in the organization. I'm not seeing anything around that in any of the job descriptions for HR. I also think it's important for us to have that governance piece and then the qualification. Either decide if you want that person to have CIPD certifications, whether it's from level 5 to fellow, or if you want them to be CHRM certified and what that looks like in terms mm-hmm. of the CHRM certifications. So I really feel that I feel the HR associations like HRMAT and HRMAB and all the other Caribbean countries needs to come together to really work on a balanced job description for HR roles in the Caribbean. And then organizations should be feeding into those HR associations, those bodies, to recruit and fill those HR positions. I don't think people should be having to go to external to resource. I think if I am Angostura and I am saying I want an HR director, I call HRMAT and I say, hi, HRMAT, I am looking for an HR director. Could you provide me with a job description? This is the thing that I want them to do, but can you tell me what I need? Because organizations know what they want, but they don't know what they need. Mm-hmm. And I feel that HR is such a critical role. We really need to be having this very important dialogue around what HR roles need to look like. And then also auditing HR departments. So many organizations have an HR department of 1 and 700 employees. There's no way that that's feasible.
Yes.
I think, again, HR bodies need to get involved in auditing this and saying, this: if your organization is 0 to 300 people, this is what your HR team should look like. 0 to 500 people, this is what your organization should look like. 500 to thousands of people, this is what your HR department needs to look like. And I think that with all of that conversation, we should meet somewhere in the middle and get something really great for HR. I know that was a lot. Yeah. That's my feeling. Yeah. I could sit on that soapbox all day with you, Cavill.
It's a lot, but it's exciting in terms of what still needs to be done and what we now, those of us that are here and who are passionate like we are
for
what we do, it means that there's still work to be done. There's still new things to be achieved.
Yes.
There's still things that we could accomplish together if we bring our collective heads together. So the bit about Caribbean associations coming together, yes, and agreeing on how and a direction for our profession, this, yes, profession in particular, I think it's valid. And it's ways and avenues for us to work together yes, going forward to set standards throughout the region, especially absolutely, when we consider the direction CARICOM has taken. And yes, I think now more than ever, I believe maybe I'm being a bit optimistic, and which I tend to be, right? And I always feel disappointed after. I'm always left disappointed in some way or the other.
Oh, no. But
I'm liking what I'm hearing coming out of CARICOM.
Yes.
When we consider the movement of people and the issue around the people, yes, issues in the Caribbean in general, right? Yes. And the direction that they're taking it. So if that becomes our reality this year, because that's the goal,
yeah,
then that means you can be practicing in Trinidad and Tobago and transition very easily, mm-hmm, without any need for a specific Trinidad and Tobago credential to work here.
Yes.
If that's the vision, then why not the associations get together and work on whether it's licensure or the standards for a profession that will be acceptable across the region, that makes it easy for us to move across, yes, the region. So if a big company in Jamaica wants to hire you and you fit the bill and have all the license and all the credentials, it makes it easy for you to fit in seamlessly. And absolutely, it means also we get together and we study all the codes that exist across the region. Yeah. St. Lucia have their labor codes. We have our Industrial Relations Act. You know, Jamaica has what exists there, Barbados, same thing. So bring all these documents together. Let's see how we could study it and make it work. Make it, yeah, work for the region. I mean, the European Union is such a fantastic example, yeah, of what we're talking about.
Yes.
Yes, we had Brexit within recent years, but generally the EU has worked and worked positively, especially when we consider the movement of people.
Yes.
And it makes sense for regions such as ours, so small, to, yep, finally get to the point where we're moving in that direction.
Direction, and absolutely,
because we are aware of this, we're hearing the conversations. I mean, I like to get all the updates coming out of these CARICOM meetings. We saw what happened in Guyana recently. And therefore, it means knowing that these are the conversations, this is where we need to be proactive and, yes, come together and say, okay, this is what is happening. This is what we need to do in preparation for that, rather than wait.
Yeah.
We need to get involved. We need to, yes, say to Carrie, I'm here,
very proactive.
We're hearing you. This is what could help facilitate that going forward as well. Because it's, yes, one thing for people to move freely, but how do they transition into roles in other jurisdictions, absolutely, and function very quickly as well, that orientation and boarding time being as short as it could possibly be.
As possible, yeah, yes,
like, yeah,
so they can get up to speed and work.
Yeah,
absolutely. Caval, I could talk to you all day, but our time is gone. This is such a great conversation. Tell our audience where they can find you on social media if they want to reach out and connect with you.
Well, as much as I'm active on social media, you know, I don't remember handles, right? Like how some people would. I have to admit I don't. But I am available on LinkedIn, yes, Facebook, Instagram, and X. I do not have a TikTok account, unfortunately.
Okay.
I think for some reason, I don't know. I don't know if the generational issues hitting me already. Well, I think maybe perhaps I'm too old for TikTok or something.
No.
But... But I'm yet to have a TikTok account, but I am, okay, available on social media platforms. And I mean, I'm always willing to assist and help. So you find ever so often I get messages from perfect strangers on LinkedIn,
yes,
asking for information, seeking advice. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I do make myself available where and however I can.
Yes.
At that point in time, yes.
Awesome.
So yes, there you go in terms of where you can find me.
Thank you. With that being said, Caval, you have survived your time in the sound booth today. Thank you so much for being here. And we wish you every success. And we'll continue to follow your journey as you navigate these HR streets in the Caribbean.
Well, Julie, I want to thank you for having me on your show. It is appreciated. And I do feel honored. when you did, in fact, reach out to me and extended the invitation. It was a joy to certainly share a bit about myself and my journey. It's not the end, it's just the beginning. We're not right. even halfway there in my head.
Started.
It's all in my head, huh?
You're just getting started.
It's all in my head, that, you know, you're not even halfway there yet, Cabell. There's a long way to go still.
A lot more to do.
But with people like you and many others across the region, we know that HR is in solid hands. And we could all bring our collective minds together to work in the interest of our region. Our region is so blessed. The Caribbean region is so blessed with so much talent, much skills. And this region has made, we've made a global impact, you know? Yep. When I see even what's happening with One Love right now in theaters and how the world has fallen again in love with Bob Marley.
Yes.
And his records are now again trending on Spotify and all these different streaming services. Yep. So one region has made such a profound impact on the world.
Yes.
And when we think about it, I mean, even now, for those of us who live in these times, we still can make our mark in our respective careers, and HR is no different.
Absolutely.
To a musician or any other profession out there. So,
right.
So I look forward to, of course, seeing you in the flesh soon in Trinidad and Tobago as well.
Indeed. Thank you for joining me for this episode of HR Sound Off. I hope that you found it useful. You can find this and all of the episodes of HR Sound Off on all major podcast platforms. Spotify, Apple, Amazon, you name it, we're there. Remember, HR Sound Off is created by HR professionals for HR professionals. If you would like to share your story, then reach out to us and let us know. Make sure to hit the notification bell and subscribe to HR Sound Off on YouTube as well as Podbean. And we'll see you again when we next sound off.